Amen. And while you're standing there, take your Bibles and go to Colossians chapter 1. We're going to read verses 11 to 14. I'm going to read verse 11 and you read verse 12 with me. Colossians chapter 1 and verse 11. Colossians chapter 1 and verse 11. Strengthened with all might according to his glorious power, unto all patience and long-suffering with joyfulness, giving thanks unto the Father, which hath made us meet to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light, who hath delivered us from the power of darkness, and hath translated us into the kingdom of his dear Son, in whom we have redemption through his blood, even the forgiveness of sins. And let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, thank you, Lord. As we look into your precious book, please help us believe what you've written so you can strengthen and help us. Open our eyes, give us understanding, and Lord, we'll praise you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. You can have a seat there and keep your Bibles open. As we read Colossians and work our way through it, I've taught a lot out of Colossians chapter 1, and God is trying to show you what he has done for you when he saved you, and it's something you can rejoice in. Verse number 12 says, giving thanks unto the Father, which hath made us meet or fitting to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints of light. Now, I know that's not the end of the sentence. Verse 13 says God's delivered us from the power of darkness. But this morning, I want to look at that last part of verse number 12 where it says inheritance of the saints in light. Saints in light. And I know living in a Catholic area, Catholics are used to thinking that saints are someone that the Catholic Church has deemed a saint after they've lived on this earth. But God says when you got saved, he made you a saint. So if you're saved this morning, I'm looking at saints. Amen? You do not have to be declared to be a saint. That's all, I guess, religion. But the Bible teaches when you got saved, God wiped away your sins. And God made you his child, and then God said you're a saint, and which means what? You have access to God if you're saved all the time, right? You have instant access to God because he lives within you. Well, if we take this one thought this morning and look at saints in light, here we go. Let's go on a little journey here. Take your Bible and go to 1 John chapter 1. 1 John chapter 1. We're going to look at verses on God who is light, and then what God did with us to make us saints in light. All right, but to understand that, look at 1 John chapter 1, verse 5. In 1 John, back near Revelation, it says, this then is the message which we have heard of him and declare unto you, that God is light, and in him is no darkness at all. So God is total light. God is always light. He's not partial light, I guess what I'm trying to say. God is light, and there's absolutely no, all the way through the Bible, there's no darkness in him at all. Okay? So God is light. Now wait a second. God says he's four things in the Bible. God's a spirit, God is light, God is love, and God is jealous. He's a consuming fire. Okay? One of the aspects of God is that he is light. Okay? So his presence brings illumination. Next, go to 1 Timothy chapter 6. 1 Timothy chapter 6. 1 Timothy chapter 6. And look at verse 15. 1 Timothy chapter 6 and verse 15. We're gonna do this a bunch. We're gonna look at verses on light and how God is light, and then what God did to us, which is just to me, it's just another rejoicing point in the Lord. Amen. What God did for us. But look at 1 Timothy 6:15, which in his times he shall show who is the blessed and only potentate, the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, who only hath immortality, dwelling in the light which no man can approach unto. Now, when you look at the verse that is right before, look at verse 1 Timothy 6, look at verse 13. I give thee charge in the sight of God who quickeneth all things, and before Jesus Christ, who before Pontius Pilate witnessed a good confession, that thou keep this commandment without spot, unrebukable, until the appearing of our Lord Jesus Christ, which when then we started reading verse 15, which in his times he shall show. In other words, that Jesus that Pontius Pilate had whipped and spit on and scourged and bloodied and crucified is going to one day show himself as the high king potentate of the universe. The world doesn't see that because they're lost. The world's in darkness. They don't see Jesus as the light. But Jesus is going to one day show himself to be the king. The one who came to die for us is the one who will reign for 1,000 years. He will show that. And it says here, verse 16, who only hath immortality. Jesus is the only one. Had he not been crucified, he's the only one that had a perfect body, that had he not been crucified, he would still be walking on this earth today, 2,000 years later, because he was immortal. He was the God-man. All right? And then watch this. It says, watch, who only hath immortality dwelling in the light. Watch carefully. Dwelling in the light which no man can approach unto, whom no man hath seen, nor can see, to whom be honor and power everlasting. Remember that part right there, dwelling in the light which no man can approach unto. Jesus Christ is out there in glory. He dwells in the light that we cannot approach. We cannot approach. No man from Adam until now could approach or get there. Just follow me. Jesus Christ in his person is light and is unapproachable by any man. God can't be approached by anyone. Jesus can't be approached by anyone. This has an application. First of all, think with me just for a second. People who think you can work your way to heaven, it's impossible. We're saints in light. We read that in Colossians, right? So to get saved, God put you in the light. But you can't approach the light unless God does it. No man has approached it. No man's ever seen God and lived, right? So to think, I go to church, I get baptized, I live a good life, what foolishness to think you can work your way to heaven. God is the light that cannot be approached, cannot be approached, which is wonderful. Here we go. This person who is light that we're talking about made the sun. All right. As a matter of fact, just listen to this verse, Acts 26:13. At midday, Paul said, O king, I saw on the way a light from heaven above the brightness of the sun, shining round about me and them which journeyed with me. When Paul got saved, he saw a light that knocked him off of his horse to the ground. It wasn't the sun. That light, who it's the brighter than the sun, was Jesus. The light that knocked, that blinded him, the light was Jesus. It was brighter than the sun. Now, think with me just for a second. Paul was blinded by Jesus Christ. And as much money as NASA spends trying to get to the sun, everybody knows you can't go to the sun. Well, we can go to Mars. I know, but everybody knows the sun's too hot, let alone getting in the sun, right?
Well, why don't you go at nighttime?
Okay, that was stupid. All right. No, okay, so they know they can't get to the sun. That was a joke. Come on now, wake up. I know we're back here. Come on. But they know they can't go to the sun because it's too hot. They can't approach the sun, let alone Jesus is brighter than the sun. God is brighter, is a light that's brighter than the sun. I think this is amazing. Think about this just for a second. God knew we could not approach to him. We could not approach him, so he hid his light in a body of flesh and came to us. What a loving God. What a God that would, when we could not go to him, he came to us. What a loving story of salvation. Now, take your Bible and go to John chapter 1, verse 1, John chapter 1. Jesus only has immortality, and he dwells in the light which no man can approach unto, so he came to us. John chapter 1, verse 1. We're looking at light this morning and how God is light. And in just a moment, we'll go back to Colossians and I'll show you what a beautiful passage this is. John chapter 1, verse 1. Watch this. In the beginning was the Word, capital W, that's Jesus. And the Word, Jesus, was with God, and the Word, Jesus, was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by Him, and without Him was not anything made that was made. So He's the Creator God. Verse 4, in Him, in Jesus, was life, and the life was the light of men. Verse 5, and the light shineth in darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. Had they known who He was, they wouldn't have crucified Him. But they comprehended the darkness, the world comprehended Him not, who He was. Then watch this. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. The same came for a witness, to bear witness of the light. Capital L, which means that's Jesus, right? Capital L. That all men through Him might believe. He was not that, capital L, light. John was not that light, but was sent to bear witness of that light. That was the true light. Watch this. Which lighteth every man that cometh into the world. I told you, no created person could approach the light because it was too holy, it was too pure, it was too much power. But the light, Jesus, said He would approach us and come to us, and He said, you can't come to me, but I will get to you. People who believe you can work your way to heaven, that you can eventually approach God, find it so strange that Jesus Christ would hide His light in a baby's body in a manger, in a working man's body in a carpenter's shop, and in a sacrificially offered body on the cross. That's why most religion cannot, that's where they choke. They cannot believe that Jesus is God. They believe in God, but they can't believe that Jesus is God, because that just doesn't make sense. That was God's body laid in a tomb. They find it hard to believe that that was God's body bleeding on a cross. That light which no man can approach, it approached man. And without Jesus coming to us, we would all burn in our approach to God. This is why Jesus veiled His glory in flesh. Everything He did showed that He was God in the flesh. We walk by faith, not by sight. There's things you have to accept to believe in the Bible. Let me give you, for instance, I don't fully understand how Jesus is God. I just know He was. Well, yeah, but how could man be God who's omnipresent and omnipowerful and how could He fit into a... I don't know. I just know Jesus was God. Here we go. Here's another thing you have to accept by faith. I've asked you before, explain eternity to me. We live 70 years on this earth. Explain eternity. We're going to live, if you're saved, you're going to live forever, eternally with Jesus Christ, time without end. We know nothing about that. You just have to accept it by faith because Jesus said so, right? So this is why false religions and liberal Christianity have the biggest problem believing that God was manifest in the flesh or that Jesus Christ was God Almighty. They can't believe that God, who's that strong and the source of life, could die for them. Yet Jesus said, here we go, John 8:12, I am the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. John 9:2, as long as I am in the world, I am the light of the world. So Jesus is the only light that we couldn't approach to that came to us, that gives us the light of eternal life. All right? So, take your Bible. Go to 2 Corinthians chapter 4. Watch this. 2 Corinthians chapter 4. 2 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse 3. But if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost. in whom the god of this world, small g, that's Satan, in whom the god of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, the light, who is the image of God, should shine into them. So Jesus said he wanted people to know him and to go to a people. Jesus wants us who know him to go to a people who don't know him. And then people who are in darkness, and the only light that can penetrate their soul is the light of the gospel. Okay? So the light of the world will come and take up residence inside you if you'll believe the gospel. That's the promise of the Bible. Right? Christ comes in you and you go in Christ. Right? You become a believer in Christ. Satan wants people to be religious, offer sacrifices, build idols, do good deeds, all in the name of God, just don't believe the gospel. Anything but the gospel. If Satan can get people to reject the gospel, the death, burial, and resurrection of Christ, then he can keep them blind and in darkness. So, there is no light in man. Man lives and dwells in darkness. But we read in John that Jesus lights every man that comes into the world. And you got to think about this. Jesus lights every man. Every man that's born has a conscience. Every person that's born has a conscience. He lighteth every man that cometh into the world. So listen, when you give the gospel to a man or woman, the light that you're proclaiming agrees with the light that God put inside them. Does that make sense? Jesus lit them when they came into this world. They know there's a God. An atheist has to be taught the foolishness that there is no God. They got to have their mind played with. But everybody knows there's a God. This is why you can say, when you give a gospel tract, here, I'd like to give you something to show you how to go to heaven. This is Bible verses that show you how to go to heaven. You can, and they go, oh, I don't want that. You can say, yeah, but you know it's right. You know this is truth. God put it inside you that this is truth. He lit you, or he lighteth every man that cometh into the world. You were lit when you got born. In other words, he showed you. We're the second witness when we give out gospel tracts, right? We're the second witness when we invite people to church and tell them about salvation. Because God put enough light in everyone to know the gospel is true. Satan wants them to reject it or not believe it. The Bible says they oppose themselves by not believing the gospel. But Jesus said in the Bible, in the mouth of two or three witnesses, every word shall be established, right? So we're the second witness. So the first witness is what God put in their heart, the light that lighteth every man. So when someone says, well, I read the Bible, but I disagree with you on that. They're saying, I don't want that much light. I don't want that much light. I want enough light to save me from my problems and my financial problems and get my marriage straightened out, but I don't want enough light to change my life. That's what they're saying. Every person says, am I going to stay in this darkness? Or am I going to let God deliver me from this darkness through Jesus Christ? This is why we're told to go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature and be a witness. Someone who will remind that man or woman what God put into the heart at birth, that Jesus Christ is the true light. Now let's go to where we started. Go back to Colossians chapter 1. Colossians chapter 1. The Bible declares what God's done for us and what you have a reason to rejoice in. That's why we started at verse number 11. Strengthened with, God has strengthened with all might, according to his glorious power, unto all patience and long suffering with joyfulness. That's one of the things God did when he saved you, if you're saved. He strengthened you with all might. You have all the power you need to do what Jesus saved you to do. You may feel unsuccessful, but that's because you're not doing things God's way. But God gave you all power when he saved you to do his will. Look at verse 12. Giving thanks unto the Father. Why would you give thanks unto the Father? Which hath made us meet or fit to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light. Now, it says we've been delivered from the power of darkness, but just follow me here. So I couldn't approach the light. You couldn't approach the light. The light approached man, offering you a way out of the darkness by believing the gospel. Not by works or religion, but by believing the gospel. And listen, when you believe the gospel, God, who is the light, brought you out of the darkness and made you meet or fit or equipped or capable of dwelling in a light that before you couldn't approach to. Before you couldn't get near it, just like we can't get near the sun. We have no capability. We'd be burned up. God says, but if you'll trust me as your Savior and believe the gospel, I'll not only bring you to me, I'll put you in me that you could not approach. What a miracle. That's why God's saying we're supposed to thank God. What we used to be was in the darkness. But now if you're saved, you're a saint in the light, in Jesus Christ that nobody could approach to. The sun is 92% hydrogen and is a big ball of gas and plasma. We can't approach the sun because it'll burn us up. God says, if you believe the gospel, I'll let you walk in and be a part of my light. That's why in the New Jerusalem, in the New Earth, on the New Earth that will dwell with God, listen to this verse and then you can think about it. Revelation 21 says, the city had no need of the sun, neither of the moon to shine in it, for the glory of God did lighten it, and the Lamb is the light thereof. Remember, Jesus is brighter than the sun? That's pretty bright. That's pretty bright. That's why when we get to the new heaven and new earth, there'll be no need for a sun. Jesus is the light. And the nations of them which are saved shall walk in the light of the new Jerusalem, the light of the Lamb. And the kings of the earth do bring their glory and honor into it. So, listen closely. You couldn't survive in heaven unless Jesus saves you and enables you to live with him forever. It would burn you up. That's why those that are lost burn what? Burn in hell. Right? When God saved you, he took a sinner out of darkness and put him into light and out of the hand of the devil. And so a place that you could never approach would now be your dwelling place forever. What a thought. Giving thanks unto God that's the inheritance that we have, right? That's what's coming, right? We're going to live with God forever in his light. What a blessing. All we can do is verse Colossians 1:12 says, giving thanks unto the Father. This is how God could take all of his glory and confine it into a human body for 33 and a half years. And this is how, when you trust Jesus Christ as your Savior, the Lord places you in Christ. Okay? This is why I can say, I'm not really getting to heaven. Okay, listen closely. I'm not getting there. I'm in Jesus, and he's taking me there. I know it's terminology, it's words, but think about that. Because I'm in Christ, I'm going to heaven. I'm not getting to heaven. Amen? And so, watch this. Go to Ephesians chapter 5. Go to Ephesians chapter 5. Ephesians chapter 5, look at verse 5, and all I want you, I'm just trying to draw your attention this morning to light, God who is light. Jesus is the light that no man can approach unto, so he approached us, invited us to be in him, and notice the darkness, that's people without Christ, and notice the light, right, in this passage. Ready? Watch verse 5. For this ye know, that no whoremonger, nor unclean person, nor covetous man who's an idolater hath any inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and of God. Let no man deceive you with vain words, for because of these things cometh the wrath of God upon the children of disobedience. Be not ye therefore partakers with them. Watch now, for ye were sometimes darkness. You used to be in the dark. You had no light when you were lost. But now are ye light in the Lord. So walk as children of light. Because of who you are, you're no longer in darkness. Walk that way. Verse 9, for the fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness and righteousness and truth, proving what is acceptable in the Lord. Look at verse 11. Have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness. Lost people. but rather reprove them. Stand against them. Tell them what's wrong. Verse 12, watch this. For it is a shame even to speak of those things which are done of them in secret. Verse 13, but all things that are reproved are made manifest by the light. For whatsoever doth make manifest is light. That's why, watch this. The Bible is the word light of God. It reveals problems. And when a pastor reveals problems from the Bible, don't let the pastor become your problem. It's supposed to be a good thing. Amen. God reveals to us what needs to be worked on once we're saved. He reveals what was there. But to have sin pointed out and say this needs to be corrected, just remember that's because we were brought out of darkness. We have things that need to be worked on in our life once we become saints in light. Look at verse 14. Wherefore he saith, awake thou that sleepest, and arise from the dead, and Christ shall give thee light. And then verse says, when Christ gives you light, verse 15, see then that you walk circumspectly or uprightly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time. Here we go. Now that you've been placed in the light, listen closely, why would you want to continue muddling around living in the darkness? You're a child of light. Well, I know there's things you used to do. I know there's things that I could only enjoy those because I was in darkness. I had no light. So God says, don't enjoy those things. Quit participating in those things anymore. You're a child of light. Look, we're normal people. We're the only ones that know what's going on in the world. Everybody else is going, what's happening in America? What's happening around here? We already know what's happening. We're children of light. We see it. We see the judgment of God. I don't care. Here, pick one issue. Alcohol. It flows like a river in America. If America stood before God, it'd be in a drunk stupor. It's been that way, well, since Prohibition in the 1920s. Prohibition sent bank accounts through the roof. Unemployment dropped drastically. All that stuff, well, Prohibition didn't work. That's what the mafia wants you to think. Prohibition worked. But now St. Mary's is a dry county. That's funny. Dry my foot. I can't remember how many places there are to buy alcohol. Isn't it over 100? It's close to 100 places, but it's a dry county. All that means is Food Line doesn't sell it and stuff like that. And the convenience stores don't. But everywhere else, it flows like a river here. God curses those that drink and those that sell it. Those that give your neighbor drink, cursed is he that gives his neighbor drink. It's cursed twice in the Bible. We know why what's happening in America. Name a celebration that doesn't involve alcohol. Name a wedding in St. Mary's County that doesn't have alcohol. You're almost looked at as a fruitcake if you don't have alcohol. Take another issue. We hit one issue. That's alcohol. God judges. We know what's happening. How about this? Abortion. You can't hurt a child and God wink at it. God doesn't shut his eyes at that. We know why what's happening in America. America has been raping children by the thousands since the 1950s. The CIA, the underground, that's how come America's the number one drop-off position in the world for child pornography and pedophilia. The number one destination. Do you know why? Because there's people that buy it here. Why is this happening? We're Christians. We have the lights turned on. We know why what's happening is happening. You can't do that. God judges that. We see we're children of light. God's given us light. The world does dark things. The world looks at dark things. The world engages and glories in dark things. We are in the light now. Why would I not want to have this? Take your Bible and go to 1 Peter chapter 2. 1 Peter chapter 2. 1 Peter chapter 2. Look at verse 9. But ye are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar people. Watch that ye should show forth the praises of him who hath called you out of darkness into his marvelous light, which in time past were not a people. We weren't a people before we got saved. We were beasts. We were animals. which were not a people, but are now the people of God, which hath obtained, which had not obtained mercy, but now have obtained mercy. Dearly beloved, I beseech you, as strangers and pilgrims, abstain from fleshly lusts, which war against the soul. You know what stranger and pilgrim is? That's somebody that doesn't belong here. What's a pilgrim? It's a representative from another land. What's a stranger? It's somebody that's not originally from here. I'm a stranger and a pilgrim on this earth. I don't belong here. My home's in heaven. I'm a child of light. I'm not of the darkness. Amen. He said, live for the next world, not this world. Not this world. That's why, remember this. You're not just handing out gospel tracts as children of light. You're not just inviting people to church. You're not just offering a ride to church in our van. Listen, you're the means whereby God Almighty reaches into the darkness and pulls people out of that eternal darkness and into that light forever. How does God do that with soul winners? With people, Christian, are you working? Who are you praying for right now that's in darkness that needs to get saved? God wants to use you to reach into that darkness and pull them out and make them a saint in light. That's why, you know, here we go. You got your hymn book there. The light of the world is Jesus. Here we go. How about number 133? Look at number 133. It's a good song. Now, maybe when you sing it, it makes sense to you. Ready? The whole world was lost in the darkness of sin. The light of the world is Jesus. Like sunshine at noonday, His glory shone in. The light of the world is Jesus. Verse 2. No darkness have we who in Jesus abide. So we don't have any darkness if you're saved, right? The light of the world is Jesus. We walk in the light when we follow our guide. Jesus, the light of the world, is Jesus. Look at verse 3. Ye dwellers in darkness, with sin-blinded eyes, the light of the world is Jesus. Go, wash at His bidding, and light will arise. The light of the world is Jesus. One more verse, verse 4. No need of the sunlight in heaven. We're told the light of the world is Jesus. The Lamb is the light in the city of gold, the light of the world is Jesus. Somebody got a hold of it. And so this morning, Colossians chapter 1 says, giving thanks unto the Father, which hath made us meet to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light. Tonight, I'm going to give you the other aspect and show you what being delivered from darkness means. And there's a reason Jesus didn't put in there who saved you. He said, I delivered you from darkness. And tonight we'll look at that. Let's pray. Father, thank you, Lord, what you've done in each person, Lord, to make us a saint in your light because we've believed the gospel. Please, I pray for people, Lord, that are lost. I ask that, Lord, you would work in their hearts. I pray that, Father, they would see how simple it is to be saved. Lord, those that still are learning, I pray that, Father, you'd show them. You've come to us, and Lord, you wait for our faith, and then you give us the grace and save us. I pray that you'd please work in their hearts. Lord, help us as your people, and we love you in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's all stand. The piano's going to play. I know we're tight in here, but if you want to pray at your seat.